And as I was thinking, though, this afternoon, you know, the Lord just opened a layer of understanding to me as I was looking at, you know, John 14. And I just want to maybe just share that, you know, just briefly, you know, as we continue to pray. You know, we all have different things we ask the Lord about, things that we're not sure of, things that we not really, you know, we want more light or understanding on what to do. You know, so John 15 was open to me this afternoon. John 14, sorry. And three disciples had three questions in John 14. And it was a time of uncertainty. Jesus was about to be crucified, you know, and all that. And it was a very important stage in the life of his followers. You know, they had definite things that they wanted assurance about. You know, and they asked those questions, you know, of Jesus. And I'll just read maybe the three questions, you know, that the disciples asked him. Thomas, and we have a brother Thomas here. I don't know if you have a question. We thank the Lord for God gracing you to be here. So in verse 5 in John 14, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? So that was a question to Jesus, to Yeshua. Says, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know what the way? You know, and we all have different crossroads we encounter in life, our careers. I know Brother Mark talked about many times when he was a nurse, you know, and how he had to make a choice. Hospital administrator. Okay, I was working in the hospital. Is that right?
Both.
Okay. And how you reached some different crossroads in your life and how you needed to know where to turn to. You know, and the choices that God presented to you were difficult, but be able to go along the line, you know, that the Lord, you know, led to you. You know, so that's what Thomas asked the question there. And then Philip in verse 8 says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And what it was suffice us. I mean, we'll be satisfied if you show us the Father. You know, so there were concerns, you know, about, you know, who the Father was. You know, and Philip, you know, asked that question. Then Judas here said in verse 22, Jesus said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not what?
22.
Unto what? The world. Yes. That is John 14, 22. Jesus said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So I know that the Lord has, you know, built a deeper level of understanding for us, you know, about his second coming. You know, the Lord will not necessarily come to the whole world like some people do believe now. You know, that there's a place called Mount Olives in Jerusalem where the Lord will physically go. And there are people who seriously believe in that, even up to today. But we do know that there's a secret coming within us. And as the Lord makes himself known within us, then he prepares us to be that body of people that will make him known to the ends of the earth. So there's something of the Lord that the Lord definitely wants to do within our hearts over the next few days. And I pray that there will be capacity for us to take it in, to accept, you know, the Lord, what the Lord is implanting and bringing to us by words and by his Spirit, so that we can make progress in our walk with him. In the name of Jesus. The words of Jesus, going back to John 14. You know, as we walk this walk of faith in the Lord and we go along the path that Jesus set for us, sometimes our hearts tremble. Tremble not because we are afraid. Tremble not because we do not know what to do physically. We tremble because we know that we serve an awesome God. You know, we tremble because we know that it's important that we walk in the fear of the Lord. And I trust that as God's people, we'll find that comfort of spirit, of heart that is needed, you know, as we walk, you know, with the Lord. So Jesus says here in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Then whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. You know, the Lord has brought us into, you know, the avenue of being called the people of God, the church of the living God, the body of Christ, for a reason and for a purpose. You know, and I trust and I believe that as we behold the Lord each day, the Lord by Spirit, by His Holy Spirit, will minister the essence of what our day should be. You know, these mansions are a place of ministry, a place where we are effective for God. You know, how we make, you know, changes, you know, and with the advent of technology, it's very easy to cut across, you know, geographical locations, you know, with emailing and Skype and all the different peripherals that we have. We can be effective in our work with the Lord, you know, both internationally and locally. And I trust, you know, the Lord will help us, you know, to make advances in Christ based on the things that He's made ready for us, you know, to do. And that's where that led to Thomas's question. You know, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, and you don't have to look far. You know, we see people questioning the utterances of Jesus, of Him being what? The way. Him being what? The truth. Him being what? The life. There are a lot of alternatives in the world, isn't there? Mm-hmm. We don't have to look far. You know, an invitation went out, not just for us here, but to the ends of the earth, for people to really accept the saving grace that God has brought to them through Jesus. But how many people have embraced that wholeheartedly? How many people are following on to know the Lord? You know, how many people are failing at the first hurdle, the mystery of salvation? How many of God's people are failing at the second hurdle, the mystery of sanctification and consecration? How many people are failing, you know, at the third hurdle, and so on and so forth? And we see ways in which, you know, ourselves and many others have fallen short of the glory of God. But we trust that the Lord will restore all the areas, you know, in our hearts, in our mind, in our soul, that hasn't been able to receive the totality of the revelation of God's righteousness that He's so freely, you know, given to us. You know, there's so much, not just to say, there's so much to do. And I trust that as we look to the Lord each day, this work will not overwhelm us. But as we trust, you know, in the leader of the Holy Spirit, as He gives us each day as a gift, we'll go forth, hallelujah, with the anointing and with the presence of God to make a difference in amongst the people that God has called us to. And I know that the grace of God is sufficient. You know, we see all different alternatives in the world, you know, different bents to different ideas, either of religion, you know, or either of social, you know, living, social life. You know, but we trust that which God has brought to us through Jesus. Him being what? The way. Him being what? The truth. Him being the life.
Amen.
Will be ours more abundantly. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So going back to Philip's question again. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father in what and what it confides us. And we'll be satisfied if you show us the Father. And we'll see what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, Have I not so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, for the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the weary work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, the Lord told us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, the cry, you know, of God's beloved to the Father. The cry to see, you know, mature people radiating, hallelujah, you know, the life that God has so freely given to us in Christ Jesus. It's a cry, it's a prayer we must not forget. And I trust that the Lord give us, you know, that grace to really see Father God as a holy God, as an awesome God. A God who means well for us. A God who at all lengths to ensure that we partake in His holiness and in His righteousness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So just read it down. He goes on to give a promise there in verse 13. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I know that the longing of our hearts is a longing that has been brought to us by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 that we do not know even how to pray, how to even offer it worthily, even what words to say. But we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. He comes to our aid, gives us words to say, and allows us to say it in a manner that is acceptable before God. So we are with help. And the Holy Spirit, as we read on, provides that help for us. So the things we ask are not carnal things, are not sensual things, not things pertaining to this life, but things that God originally engineered to bring to us so that we can walk in ways, you know, that honor Him. So we trust that as we yield to the Holy Spirit each day, as we, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to inspire our prayer, to inspire our words, to inspire our search for Him, to inspire our relationships, we trust that we know that that which we bring forth as a prayer is what God really had in His heart and His mind. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He goes on, verse 15, to say, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you what?
Another
comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him. For you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. For you see me, because I live, you shall live also.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God for life, life in the Spirit, no life physically. That by the Spirit of the Lord is altering the, you know, the chemistry of our body. He is filling us, He is quitting us.
Amen.
He is giving us the ability to radiate, hallelujah, the life eternal and the life physical to the glory and praise of His name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Ye in this world, and the world seeth me no more. For ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself. We trust, you know, that, you know, the mind and will of God is being made manifest as we pray, as we look to the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. The mind and will of God is being made known. Hallelujah. The Lord is quickening us. The Lord is strengthening us. The Lord is orchestrating things that even we cannot see. And I trust that that's the mind and will of God for us, you know, as we gather this weekend. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's intent is to make Himself known to us.
Mm-hmm.
I know He will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So going to the answer that Jesus gave Judas, not Iscariot. See, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him.
Amen.
He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words that ye hear is not mine, for the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we see Jesus reiterating those words that he gave us in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the things that are associated with fear and anxiety, you know, and trouble and disheartened, you know, living, the Lord will roll those things away. He will roll those things away. Now, the assurance of faith, the assurance of our tomorrow will be given unto us. For the promise of the meek inheriting the earth will be ours as we look to the Lord daily. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He goes on in 27, I will just conclude. and I hopefully will pray. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and had nothing in me.
Amen.
But the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I did. Arise, let us go. You know, and I trust that these words, yes, though they were spoken over 2,000 years ago, the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us will be felt more than ever before. You know that our lives are not just an act. We're not trying to make ends meet. But there are eternal plans being registered, being enforced in our waking each day. In our going forth each day, there's something that is beyond our own making that the Lord is doing. And we need that assurance. We need that assurance. We need that assurance. And I trust that as we spend these few days here, much more the reality of us being overshadowed by heaven will be real more than ever before. That our lives are not an accident. Know that God is orchestrating things beyond our own making. And I trust that we'll all be partakers of that. In the name of Jesus. I just want us to just, you know, covenant with God tonight through prayer. So really, you know, abandoning the direction and the control of our lives over to God. Sometimes we say, yes, God is in control, but subtly, we are still, you know, the managers of our own life. Let's truly abandon the destiny of our lives to God.
Amen.
And trust that the Lord, with eagle's wings, will take us where He wants us to be.
Amen.
In the Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. You know, so, whatever questions we have in our hearts, might not be really, you know, crossroad questions, questions of life and death. Whatever is causing our hearts not to fully yield to the authority of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit bring the comfort, bring the assurance that is needed tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's just bow our heads now. Trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. You know, the things in our hearts and in our lives that we're still holding strong onto, where God by the Holy Spirit said, abandon that, leave that, let that go. You know, I want to take the reins of your life, the reins of the destiny of your life. I want to really lay hold upon it, and I want you to follow where I lead. Let's trust, you know, that there will be new respect, you know, tonight and in the days to come. You know that the Lord means well for us more than we even do for ourselves. Hallelujah.